From WAMU 88.5 at American University in Washington, welcome to the Kojo Namdi Show. It's the computer guys and gal. If you have not started shopping for your holiday gifts yet, you're in luck. The computer guys and gal have been scouring the planet looking for the best and worst tech gifts of the holiday season. They found laptops made from renewable wood. Good for Bernie. Digital photo frames even a Luddite can love, and an online service sure to please almost everyone on your list. So even if you're an A-type person, a type A person who can proudly proclaim, "I've completed my holiday shopping," you may soon think twice. After all, someone on your list would probably love a tech-savvy t-shirt with the built-in drum kit.
Oh, yeah.
You want it.
Suggestion, Bill.
Way better than the Wi-Fi t-shirt.
Makes John Gilroy's air guitar sound so 1980s. Yeah. It's the first Tech Tuesday of the month and our last Computer Guys and Gal of 2008. We'll answer your questions, update you on tech news, and ask you, what's the worst tech gift you ever got? John Gilroy is our computer guy and director of business development at solutionsdevelopers.com. He has no gift suggestions because, well, he has no friends.
I have a secret gift suggestion. I've been holding it in reserve here.
And therefore no gifts to get or give.
No. If you live around the economy, things get a little tight here. You know, you want to squeeze every little dime you got, every kind of piece of hardware you have. And I think this is a time for Skype. I think people should want to get the little Skype camera, put it on their notebook computer, and call their friends in Guyana and Brazil and California. I mean, it's a great little, you can get them for $40, $50. All kinds of different cameras out there. Skype is easy to install. I think it's finally matured. And so that's my Christmas advice. Get a little Skype camera and call your buddies.
See, we've already covered you have no friends. So
that was the best thing.
How do you know?
This is for those of us who actually have friends.
Yeah, that's actually for people who have friends. You know, I don't have any friends. But if you did have friends, you could do it. And I think it's a great little inexpensive gift. You get them from $40. You can get them higher than that. One key thing is that you want to have a lot of lighting. You know, like you need a lot of lighting for radio.
That is true.
You need a lot of lighting for these Skype cameras. If you have a lot of lighting, you can buy the cheap camera, $60, $70. So I think it's a nice gift. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
And don't
all
forget,
your
a lot of cameras are already built into various laptops from Dell and, you know, Apple and various others.
Although some people are freaked out by that and I like to pull a piece of tape over because they don't want to have them being watched while they're typing.
Bill Harlow is our other computer guy.
He's
He's a former Mac genius and now a Macintosh consultant with Mid-Atlantic Consulting who has no need for gifts because, hey, he's a genius. He's already got a gift.
Genius. Or a former genius.
I want to be Bill.
He's already got a gift. Well, Allison Druin, our computer gal, is director of the Human-Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College Park. And actually, her husband, Ben Bedeson, needs this broadcast.
Yes, he does.
That's right.
In order to know what gift he's likely to get the least expensive, and what gift he's likely to give the most expensive. Feel free to call us at 800-433-8850.
With your credit card number, please.
800-433-8850, or you can send email to kojo, K-O-J-O, at WAMU.org. Of course, this is December, but I guess for the last 6 months or so, Allison Druin has been pushing the Apple MacBook. So
she sure has.
All right. Okay. Yes. So I actually have one now. But what's really interesting, I was looking for what is the hottest new thing. You know, every year there's always something you must have. But there's really not an enormous must-have gift this year. Except I did see an awful lot of these Apple MacBooks on a lot of people's lists. So I have to say, I've had it now for a month. I still love it. I still love it to pieces. And now I'm looking to try and put accessorize, you know, the whole thing. But it really, I'm a convert. 10 years of being a PC addict, and I went over to the dark side. No, I went over to the light.
So, Allison, after 1 month after you married your husband, you decided whether or not you're going to keep him?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you're on the dark side of the force right now. You too, the dark side of the force. And guess what? Some important person who's going to move into town here is also on the dark side of the force. His name is Obama. And he uses a Mac, by the way. That's a surprise.
I could keep worse company, John.
Yes,
and
I know.
John Gilroy is apparently already on first name terms with Barry Obama.
Barry Obama.
He calls it.
How American are you?
Very American.
Allison, tell us a little bit more about who's got this 12-inch bamboo laptop.
This was so cool. Okay, I got to say that the most frivolous, ridiculous gift that John will never buy is
the Asus,
okay, the U6V series notebook. And it's made out of bamboo, and they're calling it partially biodegradable laptops. How do you like that? That's a cool name. You want something really cool and hot that John will never buy, all right? So it's a 12-inch model. It's got Vista, Core, Duo processor and the whole deal. It's really, it's a fully loaded computer, but it's got bamboo. It is so chic and cool. But I already have my Apple MacBook, so I'm okay.
I remember the first time Ben Bedeson appeared on this broadcast when he was, in fact, at the Human Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College Park. We talked about how people tried to destroy their computers and how they...
That's right.
Remember that?
That's right.
Now you just have to strike a match to that man alone.
And burn it! Yes!
And it is gone.
Or when the processor runs hot, it'll burn itself.
I think the prize for the coolest gift of all may go to Bill Harlow's suggestion.
Yeah. He's so
An
hot.
An electronic T-shirt with a built-in virtual drum kit.
Really? That's the one you picked?
That's the one I picked.
All right. So, yeah, last year, if anybody was listening, we had this Wi-Fi Finder T-shirt we're all, you know, sort of, you know, making fun of or recommending, depending on who was listening. And this one is a little more interactive. This actually has a patch on the front that looks like a stylized drum set. And it's battery-powered, and it's all touch sensitive, so you literally you tap on your chest and you can make a snare, a tom, a kick drum, a cymbal, and one of the links I submitted was actually a YouTube video showing this guy jamming with this thing with a guitarist going on and everything. And
now, if Kojo walked down the street wearing a T-shirt like this, I mean, they would probably carry him away somewhere. I mean,
I'd be walking on the other side of the street. I'll be honest,
across the street too.
Oh, you'd win a T-shirt contest.
Here come the men in the white coats.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
but
that's so cool.
But I think when you explain what it is, and John Gilroy would like you to know that his friend Barry apparently uses a Mac.
Well, I hate to admit it. How can a guy be writing so many things and wrong on the important things? You know?
Oh,
that's the big rumor is that he uses a Mac. I mean, all the things in the world. Why in the world would he do that anyway? So we have the next 4 years to look forward to get picked on from the White House.
But you know, but he does carry a BlackBerry until they take it away. Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad for him. Oh,
yes.
Someone took away my cell phone, I'd kill him.
Allow me to go to the telephones. Here's Ryan in Leesburg, Virginia. Ryan, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Wow, thanks for having me, Kojo, and the computer guys and gal. I want to give a gift of a Nikon Coolpix camera, and I was wondering if you recommended one of the new ones with the X-Speed processor, and if so, which one?
I would just look for it if it has image stabilization. I think that's the key criteria. When I bought camera about a year ago, I looked for easy-to-find batteries and image stabilization. So I don't know if the Nikon has that, does it?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm not up on what this processor does. But, you know, if that's one of the things where I think it is worthwhile. Not so much the megapixels. They've all got plenty.
Yeah.
You know, a decent built-in lens. You know, is it easy to handle? Does it have some manual features you may want to grow into? And the processor itself, does it let you, you know, save higher quality JPEG images? Could you shoot RAW and have a digital negative? So I'm not sure about that processor. But I think taken as a whole, those other factors should weigh in too.
And why you can't go wrong with this, Ryan, is because the Kojo Namdi Show bought one this year on the recommendation of photographer Melanie Otto, who appears
really?
On this broadcast.
Wow.
How
time
cool.
Endorsement.
Wow.
Ryan, good luck.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much.
You too can call us 800-433-8850, not just for gift recommendations. If you have computer issues, problems that you would like solved, 800-433-8850, or you can send email to Kojo, K-O-J-O, at WAMU.org. Now, Bill Harlow, what is the SlimKey V2?
So the SlimKey V2 is for all you Mac people like Barry Obama. Who,
John.
You know, you want to have a really nice, sleek-looking desktop environment. So this thing, they make one for, it's called a laptop, a laptuck for people with MacBooks and MacBook Pros. It's got that same aluminum finish like all the other Apple products. And the SlimKey is for that really gorgeous, slim Apple keyboard that comes with the new iMacs or people can buy for their MacBooks, MacBook Pros. You slide underneath, and you can then take your iMac or your flat panel display, put it on top. You have a really nice, elegant solution. It's out of the way. Looks like it all belongs together. And it's a neat little device. The other ones, too, that I like actually have USB hubs built in. So you've got a very nice, clean, stylish Star Trek-looking desktop.
You know you can find all of these gift suggestions at our website, kojoshow.org. So if you can't remember everything you've heard, you can simply go to the website, and you'll find it there. Now on to Allison Drewell. Drew, and Flip Minnow, is that what the camcorder is called? A Flip Minnow?
I've heard it both ways, but I usually call it minnow. But
flip minnow.
Yeah. It's a very easy camera. And now it's a video camera. It's a camcorder, which plugs right into your USB port on the Mac or PC. And then you can basically edit. But what's really great about it is that it's now does high definition video. And so it's not just, you know, a kid's camcorder kind of thing. It's simple to use. Software's better than LastRev. And you can have an hour's worth of, fixed zoom video at, 720 pixels, megabytes.
Now, I love the earlier ones that were SD because they were so good indoors. You could have low light and they were really clean. Do you know if the HD one is that good?
I saw some examples of some of the video, and it looks good. It really does. And so for, a little over $200, it's not too bad.
And for those of you who are now sorry that the election is over because you would like to continue voting, we have for you, compliments of John Gilroy, the gift that keeps on giving.
You keep voting. Yeah, this is great. ObamaCTO.org. Who'd have thunk it? You can go on that site and make suggestions of what kind of tech initiatives you want to see happen in the next few years. I mean, that's awfully creative. I mean, I think that's just a great idea. You have a pulse on the United States of America, see what they want technically. So, in spite of using an Apple, this guy may have something on the ball.
Well, what I have actually gone to that page, and under the title Obama Scalpel, Obama announced cuts with a scalpel, not a hatchet. Which program should we cut? 348 votes. The maximum went to tax subsidies to big oil companies. 317 votes, the Iraq War. And 175 votes, swap farm subsidies for renewable fuel investments. Then the other one I found interesting was he's going to appoint the nation's first CTO. What are the top priorities? 12,196 votes, ensure the internet is widely accessible and network neutral, 9,490 votes, ensure our privacy and repeal the Patriot Act,
yep.
7,921 votes, you guessed it, repeal the Digital Millennium Copyright.
Yeah, the CTO is going to be interesting next 6 months we get appointed. And if nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve.
CTO, of course, is going to be the nation's first chief technology officer. Among the candidates for that position are Alison Drury,
really?
Who is director of the Human-Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College
what a surprise.
Park. John Gilroy, except for the fact that he has a felony record, is director
of
business development at solutionsdevelopers.com. And Bill Harlow is a former Mac genius and now a Macintosh consultant with Mid-Atlantic Consulting. Back to the telephones. Here is Irwin in Washington, D.C. Irwin, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you, Kojo, and computer dudes and dudettes.
That's a new one.
I have a question about this computer virus scanning software. I'm kind of sick of Maxi and Norton, and I'm looking for something maybe free or open source that can do as good a job, but perhaps not be as, creative.
Yeah. Well, Irwin, I got some good news and some bad news. The antivirus that you can buy, they're all certified by a company up in Pennsylvania called ISCA. And so if you're McAfee, if you're Norton, if you're AVG, no matter what brand you have, you could have a Kojo Namdi antivirus. What you do is you submit it to these folks, and they certify it as being good enough, so it'll match their current signatures. And so most of these going to be pretty good. Now, the variation I see is that it's almost cyclical. Like last year, maybe Trend was popular, and this year, maybe Norton's popular. I guess it's more of an art than a science to be able to identify all these signatures. And so what I always recommend is usually for small and medium-sized businesses, individuals, go with Norton. It seems to be trendy. And the next trend is Trend for large organizations. Trend Micro seems to be owning a lot of market share in that area. And it's just kind of a feeling that you get. Now, what you may want to do, though, is keep McAfee on your system and then use another system to scan it. You can do an online scan. Trend Micro has a product called House Call. And you can, if you think something's going on with your machine, you can go right to Trend Micro and have that scan remotely. So what you want to do is, maybe yours doesn't have all the correct signatures. Well, if you have Trend and yours, chances are you're going to get most of the known viruses out there. Now, it's got nothing to do with malware, but at least the known viruses you can detect. So use both online and the regular stuff.
Irwin, thank you for your call. Good luck to you. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll return to our conversation and give suggestions from the computer guys and gal. If the phone lines are busy, shoot us an email to kojo@wamu.org. I'm Kojo Namdi.
Next time on Tell Me More, our money coach, Alvin Hall. He'll share financial tips and his own advice on being successful.
I remember saying to myself, sort of quoting Scarlett O'Hara, as God as my witness, I will make this business successful. I will.
That's Alvin Hall next time on Tell Me More.
That's on Tell Me More at 2 here on WAMU 88.5.
WAMU 88.5 is proud to be a media sponsor for the Children's Chorus of Washington's holiday concerts, December 13th and 14th at 4 p.m. at the National City Christian Church. The Children's Chorus of Washington, joined by the Washington Symphonic Brass, will sing carols from many musical traditions. Plus, there will be a carol sing-along. More information is at WAMU.org under calendar.
Support for WAMU 88.5 comes from the German Embassy and German Information Center, now celebrating the relaunch of its website, germany.info, offering more information on Germany, a new design, videos, games, and interactive features. More is online at germany.info.
Kojo Namdi will be hosting an online chat Friday afternoon at 1:15. Go to conversation.wamu.org and become part of our growing community of public radio fans. Now let's return to the conversation on the Kojo Namdi Show.
It's the Computer Guys and Gal. Allison Druin is director of the Human-Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College Park. Bill Harlow is a former Mac genius and now a Macintosh consultant with Mid-Atlantic Consulting. And John Gilroy is Director of Business Development at SolutionsDevelopers.com. You can shoot us emails to kojo@wmu.org or call us at 800-433-8850. Among the recommended gifts is one I really like, Allison Druin, GPS for the directionally challenged.
Oh, and that is so me. I got one of these actually a few years ago when they were way too expensive. The TomTom GPS has really come down. It's about $100 now, and it's amazingly great. It really actually, I hate to say this, folks, it outdoes the iPhone's GPS.
That's not saying much, let's be honest.
All right, let's be honest. So anyway, it talks to you. It basically gives you turn by turn. It's fabulous database. I've enjoyed it. I bought two already this year.
Wow.
One for Grandma Betty. I hope you're not listening, but you're going to get one. And another one for us.
See, rather than putting a TomTom in my car, I'd prefer a little bobblehead doll of Kojo Namdi right there, the next giveaway. A little bobblehead doll of Kojo, much better
than
a TomTom.
But it takes away the male privilege of never asking directions.
That's the bad news with it.
And getting hopelessly lost. Now we won't be able to get hopelessly lost. But speaking of the iPhone, Bill Harlow says the new iPhone software is a hit. Safari
is so much more stable for me now. And there were two tests for me. One was managing my fantasy hockey team. Very important. Very important. Very important. That's why people buy iPhones. And the second thing was TiVo online scheduling. The website was dog slow and crashed all the time. Two things I can now do in a reasonable manner on the iPhone. I also love the new Google Maps. The upgrades there are really cool. You can use walking directions now. You can get transit directions, public transit directions in key areas, and Google Street View, which I think actually works better on the iPhone than it does on my computer. It's just really slick and smooth and responsive. And it's a free update. I think that if you've been holding off, definitely download this update and try out the new features.
Yeah, so far, he's had some problems in the last year.
And John Gilroy has another gift suggestion, and that is, apparently, if you live in an area in which you can't get broadband, you can just buy yourself a new house.
You know,
John, you're so creative.
If you talk to most real estate agents, they say location, location, location. Well, guess what? The new three words is broadband, broadband, broadband. What I see happening across the United States is, let's say someone like Bill is looking at a house in Arlington or Fairfax or Montgomery County. I don't know where he's looking. One of his criteria may not be school district. It may be whether it has access to good broadband or not.
Believe it or not, that is it. When I moved down here, that was exactly what I did. Oh, no cable modems and DSL is too far away. I can't move here.
So when you do a play out, when you do your, you know, comparables and look at all these, you know, number of bedrooms, number of baths, you may have a new field in there. It's going to be distance.
Totally agree.
Yeah, what kind of a broadband service. So it's just kind of fascinating that this is, the world's all changing.
Because it's become something that most people now feel is a necessity.
Right, and some people move for that.
Here is Susan in Purcellville, Virginia. Susan, you're on the air. Susie, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I have a question for you. We have a family of all Mac users except for me, and I have a PC back from our desktop back from 1998.
Wow.
Yeah, it works great. I love it. But I do need to upgrade because the other applications that I'm using won't recognize it. It's just a Pentium R. So I'm wondering if I'm not going to go Mac because I just can't do it. What is a good laptop that's not overblown, but just a economical that does the basics, holds some pictures, plays a DVD?
Susie probably picked up my old Windows 98.
Your Windows 98, my goodness.
There you go.
Well, you know, Susie, I think there's something to be said for this, you know, crowd mentality and crowdsourcing. And if you're in a crowd of Macs, you might as well get along with it. You may want to get a Macintosh that can run both Windows and the Mac, and then you can play around in the Windows world and then, you know, take a step into the wild yonder.
Oh,
and
I know.
I think that might be
they all try to get me there, but I'm going to stick with my regular PC.
Well, you can, but you see, if it has an Intel processor, you can run your regular PC Windows on a Macintosh. And
I never
thought I'd be saying this on the air, but it's very important.
That's very impressive, John.
But if all your friends and your family, you might as well, you know, in order to get along, you got to go along. And this is Washington, D.C.
Excommunicated from your family.
Yes.
If nothing else, your family can support you, too. If something goes wrong, you've got all these other people who are your IT department.
But if you really want laptop, okay, if you really do.
The bamboo, right?
All right, no, don't go with the bamboo. You got to go to Taiwan to get it first. Anyway,
I was looking at a Gateway.
Gateways are okay, but they're a bit clunky. I would go more with either a Dell or an HP. But you know, you also need to go to a store and touch it, because that's the real problem. Is that people, you know, buy these things online and never touch them, and they don't know what the keyboard feels like. They don't know that the screen has got, you know, glass on it and it's reflective and so on. So
that's always my issue with laptops, is the keyboards. And I didn't know, can you plug in an actual keyboard to a laptop?
Oh yeah, you can do it with a docking station, or you can do it with an external keyboard. That's awful easy.
That
would be my solution.
But go to a store and that still actually is in business, and you know.
You may not be able to find one.
I know.
I think Micro Center's still open.
You think? Okay. All right. So go there and try it out, because then go buy it online if you have to, but at least try it out, because that will also give you a better sense of what you want.
So what's a ballpark for just a decent computer in price-wise?
$600.
Oh, he's cheap.
Notebook computer.
He's cheap.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I mean, I don't know. I'd have gone closer to, you know, $800 to $900.
You have the big bucks, Allison. You have the fancy notebook computer and everything,
please,
you know? Come on. Tom and everything.
Susie, thank you very much for your call. And
you all have a great...
You and you have a great holiday too, Susie. And I'm sorry I cut you off before you had the opportunity to say that.
Guy.
By the way, if you'd like to share your worst tech gift with us, you can call us at 800-433-8850. Ben, this is for you. You know how attached Allison has become to her new Apple MacBook. So how about getting her a skin to keep it from getting scratched?
Whoa, be careful there, buddy.
As she drags it every place. Tell us about these skins.
Yeah, there's actually a bunch of different websites now that you can go to that essentially you can get a plastic or a foam kind of skin for your laptop, because these things, even though they're really quite beautiful, they seem to scratch a little bit easier than the other kinds. So you can go to Skinit, you can go to Decal Girl, you can get everything from basic paisley to checks to cat eyes for, you know, $25 to $30. You can get something that does protect your laptop a little bit better if you're like me and carrying it everywhere.
I think it'd be great to get a Dell skin for your MacBook. That'd be hilarious.
I know, they have some really funny ones, and they also have them for your iPhone too.
Decal Girl, what's this one?
Ben found that one where they found them for $25 there, as opposed to Skinit, which is for $30. But
I would be careful about typing that URL.
Google Safe Search on, please.
Be careful about that. Delete from show.
Here's Nate in Silver Spring, Maryland. Nate, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Hopefully you will start my new year in the right direction. I have a friend of mine who has a G5, and I probably know less about that than anything in this world. And she constantly gets this blue screen. If she's working on a document, it goes to not a blue screen, but it kind of hazes over the document.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like going into a sleep mode. And then if she has two windows that are open, it constantly jumps back and forth from the other, so you can't even click on one to even close it. And I can't figure out how to solve the problem.
Now, so the whole screen kind of goes gray, and then the two windows sort of swap places. Is that right?
If there's a document on it, almost looks like it goes into a sleep mode where the screen just relaxes a little bit. It goes just a little bit dimmer than normal. So it kind of looks like it's in sleep mode, but I don't think that it is.
You know what it might be? There are all these features that they build into their newer OSs now, such as Exposé, and which let you manage multiple windows that are open. And part of that is the screen does go gray to highlight the windows that are open. And you can set what are called hot corners. So you move your mouse in the corner, and it triggers that. So I would look in the system preferences for those features and see if the hot corners are enabled, because people turn those on accidentally, and then they wonder how come, seemingly randomly, their mouse just goes to the corner, and next thing you know, it goes to sleep, or a screensaver comes on, or Exposé happens. So that's where I would start my search.
Okay, so hot corners is the topic to look for.
Well, specifically Exposé or the screensaver, and then look for the hot corners option.
Great.
Okay, Nate, thank you very much.
I will give it a shot. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you very much for your call. John Gilroy, we just talked about people moving to places where broadband is available, but it seems like among the industrialized nations, the U.S. is not in the top 10 in broadband penetration.
Who'd have thunk it? I never would have bet this, you know. Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, they did a survey, did a study, and the United States is dropping in the percentage of homes that have broadband. And the broadband is looks like it's going to be capped here soon, too. So we may be one of these third world countries, you know. Have kids that look over to the fast, Romania's got faster broadband.
I wasn't kidding about moving. I'm going to look globally.
Yeah, move to Romania for the technology, you know.
Oh, wow.
But it's not good. I think something's happening in the United States, and we're at 15, so that's not any good.
We got an email from Lisa who says, my cat stood on the keyboard the other day, and now, I'll repeat myself, my cat stood on the keyboard the other day, and now I can't use any key twice in a row. What did Kitty stand on to cause this, and how can I fix this?
Well, that's a fair question.
First of all, these are great stories because I've got two cats, and they like to cause me to accidentally email, garbage to people.
Or, spam. Your cats send spam.
Delete some important documents. The best one I ever heard was supposedly someone was working on a laptop on a park bench, and this evil pigeon swooped down and started pecking out all the keys. Don't know if it's true, but I said, you know what? That was so great. We'll see if we can cover this repair for you. But in this case, there are things in Windows and Mac OS, these features that make it a bit easier for someone who maybe has a disability.
Like sticky fingers, they call
it. Sticky keys or something. Yeah. And some of them, they cause significant delay when you hold down a key before the repeat kicks in because, maybe you have to move slowly or you can't move, you have to move too deliberately. Who knows what the reason exactly is. A lot of reasons there. So look in Windows, look in accessibility options in the control panels. And on the Mac, look in universal access. And just check, make sure that any of these assistive features are turned off.
You go back to the default setting, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay, this email we got from Jim in Gaithersburg. When it comes to external hard drives, what's the difference between hard drives that are bootable and those that are not? Can the non-bootable be converted to bootable?
Yeah, in the Windows world, I think it's more a function of the CMOS on the motherboard itself. So what you do is you can set the motherboard to boot from C or boot from A or boot from an external device, and most newer motherboards can be controlled on that. So it's not a function of the external hard drives. By the way, I was at Costco buying Halloween candy. It was candy. There was a stack of external hard drives. Mac Store had them. 750 gigs for $59.
Ooh.
I was just stunned at that price. So anyway, you can get a 750 gigs for $60, and you can boot it if you want.
And a Kit Kat bar.
And a Kit Kat bar. I can't believe how cheap external hard drives are. So anyway, the answer is yes, you can do it. Control with the CMOS. What some people who are paranoid do is they have a Linux distribution. They boot from the Linux distribution, so it's a new boot every single time, so there's no way anything can get in their computer. So a lot of different ways to boot using your CMOS.
We had a caller, Allison Druin, who couldn't stay on the line, who has a 5-year-old and would like to know what can he give that would grow with him, a platform for learning, simple and affordable. He would like it to be it's the first computer for the 5-year-old, and then you can tell that caller about Scootles.
Okay, sure. Actually, I do an awful lot of research having to do with kids and technology, so that one's easy. Basically, for most kids, if you start them 5, 6 years old, John, hold your ears. Yes, an Apple. MacBook. Okay, it doesn't have to be the sleek, cool one. It can be the cheap, cheap, cheap one. But we started our daughter, Dana, and with her MacBook a few years ago, and now she falls asleep in her bed with it. It's, you know, it's teetering off the side. It's amazing. But yeah, those things are sturdy beasts. My kid slams the thing down. It bangs on the keyboards. I mean, it's incredible. And now two of them beating on it. Now, in terms of the kinds of things you can get for it, I was wandering around looking for what the next great gift will be for kids that want to do social networking. And yes, you're not going to start them on Facebook. There's actually something from Macy's, of all things. Okay, yes, Macy's getting into social computing, called Scoodles. But it's spelled strangely, S-K-O-O-D-L-E-Z.
Yeah, it's spelled Scoodle Z.
Z. Yeah, exactly. but it's sort of like Webkinz, where you buy a stuffed animal, and then with the stuffed animal comes a password. And with Scoodles, it's a little magic coin. And then, but instead of just playing games and, you know, making a house that looks prettier, with Scoodles, you can actually make stories for your animals. And so, in fact, actually, this is a lot more educational than a lot of the other social networks. And so you can, if the kid doesn't quite type very well, there's just, you know, some pre-written stories they can draw pictures to. It's a fabulous new social networking, Scoodles.com. You can go there.
On now to the telephones. Here is Sally in Randallstown, Maryland. Sally, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. Hi, Sally, are you there? Sally, can you hear me? Sally, I'm going to put you on hold and we'll get back to you. This gives Victor in Columbia, Maryland, the opportunity to get in. Victor, your turn.
Yes, thank you. I have a question regarding, a couple of questions, a few questions, regarding Dell. Dell doesn't sell computer without software, like operating system and Microsoft Word. And that increased price. Can I buy? Where I could buy without software? And how good the Dell reliable service?
Dell customer service. Here's Bill Harlow.
Dell's fine. I mean, Victor, you can go to Amazon.com and I think buy anything you want. You know, I mean, if you're worried about not having an operating system, I mean, Dell's got to make money somehow.
Right.
They're not making any money in the hardware. They might as well make $5 on the software itself. So you can't blame them from trying to make a buck. And I see Dell, by the way, moving away from even selling hardware, moving them into services. That's why I see their whole transition. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
He also wants to know what's a good price for a 4 gig RAM computer with a 15-inch monitor.
Yeah. It's been so long since I bought a desktop.
Not $600?
No, yeah. No. I haven't bought a desktop in 7 years. I'm out of it as far as desktops go. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But Victor, I just don't know.
Well, you can tell him in whiskey, 17 bottles.
That's true.
Two handles is what they'd say. And two. No, I don't know. It's interesting, but I haven't even looked at desktop prices in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see anyone with desktops.
I guess if you
anymore.
Find one where they're selling it as like a Linux computer, technically you're not paying the Windows licensing fee. That's probably I could get one cheap as long as you're willing to, you know, buy your own copy of Windows, install it yourself, and do whatever.
No, what's interesting is that now I know people have servers or notebooks, and there's no desktops anymore. I guess they're somewhere.
But,
I don't know. Maybe Kojo's got a corner of the market on him.
Victor, thank you very much for your call. You too can call us, 800-433-8850, or you can send email to kojo@wamu.org. Bill Harlow, the BlackBerry Storm is out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care?
Nope.
Why not?
Good commercials, well, though.
Oh, they're great commercials. I mean, that's wonderful. That's a reason to buy it. But it's you know, they're in a marketing meeting somewhere and they're thinking, okay, this iPhone has got this touchscreen. It's raking bucks. You know, I got it. We'll have a BlackBerry with a touchscreen. It's brilliant. These things will fly off the shelves. And they even had before the release, I heard about this clicky screen. You know, so that you can put your finger on the screen lightly and mouse around, so to speak. You press in and it clicks like a mouse button. Sounds great. Apparently, in real life, that's a terrible way to type, and it's confusing. On top of that, I've heard that the thing is unstable, and to me, you just took away one of the things that makes a BlackBerry so good, which is a really nice keyboard built into a nice, sturdy product, and now it doesn't have that. So it's not an iPhone killer, and it's not a BlackBerry, and I don't see why you would
and
buy one.
Alison Druin would like all of her friends and relatives to know, please don't get her a BlackBerry Storm.
That's right. I mean, I just left the BlackBerry world. And I, honestly, I was really torn because I really liked their keyboards, their physical keyboards. And what they did was they just retrofitted, essentially, you know, this thing without a keyboard now. And
that's right. It doesn't feel like a touchscreen phone. No. It feels like here's a BlackBerry. We pretended to put a touchscreen on it.
That's right. And so the user interface on it is so not elegant. I mean, if you want a good touchscreen, you got to go with the iPhone. You know, the Android is sort of getting there, but it's not that great. But no, anytime you have hardware, you've got to create the software for the hardware. You can't just say, oh, well, they'll just put a little patch here and make it right.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, a future conversation between John Gilroy and his grandchildren. Mm-hmm. It's the Computer Guys and Gal. You can shoot us an email to kojo@wamu.org. I'm Kojo Nandi. Coming up at 1, he went from child soldier in Africa to worldwide hip-hop star. We meet Emmanuel Jal and learn about his unique life, plus how the terrorist attack in India is affecting the lives of Indians and Pakistanis in our region. Today at 1 on The Kojo Nandi Show on WAMU 88.5.
This afternoon at 1 on WAMU's HD Channel 3, it's the BBC's World Have Your Say. This live, interactive program lets listeners participate in international conversations about current events. You can contact them for more information about getting your questions on the air at worldhaveyoursay.com. Click on Contact Us. That's World Have Your Say this afternoon at 1 on WAMU's HD Channel 3. Complete schedule information for HD Channel 3 is at wamu.org. WAMU 88.5 offers transcripts of The Diane Rehm Show, The Kojo Nandi Show, and Metro Connection through SoftScribe. More information is at WAMU.org under Programs or call 1-800-871-7072.
Let's check out what's happening around the WAMU radio community over on HD Channel 3. It's Day to Day. You can also hear it at WAMU.org. And it's Foster's Corner on WAMU's Bluegrass Country. Listen to it at bluegrasscountry.org. Now we return to the Kojo Nandi Show.
The Computer Guys and Gal are with us. Allison Druin is director of the Human Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College Park. Bill Harlow is a former Mac genius. He's now a Macintosh consultant with Mid-Atlantic Consulting. And John Gilroy is director of business development at SolutionsDevelopers.com. But long after he leaves that position, when he is old and gray,
John Gilroy is
anticipating having a conversation with his grandchildren in which, what will you say to your grandchildren?
Well, you know, I'll gather all the grandkids around the fire on Thanksgiving and say, okay, children, I'm going to tell you a story. Back when I was young, the internet was unlimited. And they're going to turn to me. They're going to say, oh, Grandpa, take your meds. They're not going to believe it. I just see this whole world's collapsing in on us. This unlimited internet's getting more and more companies. I see. I think was it the press release I sent you? It was AT&T. They're starting to put a small cap on their services, and you know they're saying that these big downloaders like Bill and Kojo are abusing it for everyone else. And no, maybe the new guy in the White House is going to prevent this.
See, I don't like this at all because the caps keep. You know, yeah, right now they're kind of like theoretical. They're out of the way,
but fuzzy caps.
But
now.
You know, the services keep getting richer and richer. And richer, and you know it's you know grandma could be a heavy downloader if she downloads her you know a lot of Netflix movies.
Well, more and more people are using online services for backing up data.
That's true too.
And so if you spend 8 or 10 hours backing up all night long, all of a sudden, I mean, this is a very dangerous situation where it's not going to be you know we are really going to be a third world country if we allow you know we're number 15 in broadband. Now we're going to have slow broadband. It will go back to 56K modems is what they'd be happy with, I guess.
This email we got from Guillermo in Washington. I am planning on dropping my Verizon wireless service to get an iPhone with AT&T service, of course, but I'm fairly certain my in-home cell reception will be poor. What options do I have for a cell signal booster? I heard that Sprint has introduced a $100 version that ties to a computer router to boost the Sprint signal. Does AT&T have something similar?
Well, first of all, I would say get one of your iPhone-owning buddies in your house and see how bad it is. Maybe you'll be lucky.
Invite Kojo over.
Mine works fine in the house.
By the way, if you have Verizon, obviously the storm's not the answer. We covered that already.
We know that.
Actually, what I did on my phone is I have a Skype account, a Skype out account, so I can like make calls, receive calls. So I run a program called Fring for iPhone. It does a lot of things. You can chat with text chat with people using almost any service, but also can receive Skype calls. So I've been in some server rooms, whatever, where it's great Wi-Fi, no cell reception at all, and I forward my phone to my Skype and keep Fring running, and I can answer it that
way. Skype is becoming mature. It's finally mature enough to be used like that. It's great.
Yeah, and keep an eye on Griffin Technology, too. They made a case for the original iPhone called the Clear Boost, I believe. It was a case with a built-in antenna, so maybe they're working on a 3G one, and that may be an answer, too, at least for around the house. It's kind of ugly. Don't use it in public.
We actually tried this, and I have to tell you, it only marginally helped at all. And poor Ben was on the ceiling for God knows how long. It was so bad.
Spider Ben.
Oh, it was not pretty. So I actually, I would first get your iPhone buddies in there, see how bad it is.
Here's Elias at Reagan National Airport. Elias, you're on the air, and hopefully you're not yet on your way. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Kojo, how you doing this morning? I am the one. I'm trying to load the email from BlackBerry desktop to the laptop. I get all the contact transfer, but the email doesn't go to the laptop. Is there any problem with that?
I don't have a clue.
I'm clueless. I've never used a BlackBerry. Don't plan to.
BlackBerry to laptop, Allison.
I've never had that problem. I mean, so I'm not quite sure. Unless your server is doing some funky things, but I don't know. Bill, do you have an idea?
Not really. I mean, is this a Mac or a PC?
It's a PC. I mean, a laptop PC from the BlackBerry Pearl to laptop. It sync with the contact, but it doesn't sync the email to the laptop.
So are you receiving mail on the BlackBerry, but you're not able to sync the old mail to the computer? Is that it?
No, from the I get the email to the BlackBerry, but doesn't transfer to the laptop.
Gotcha. I mean, I guess just make sure you have the latest version of the BlackBerry desktop software. Make sure that you have the latest version of the software for your BlackBerry itself, too.
Yep.
And also just look into the type of email account you have. I mean, if you have an IMAP account, things are kind of like in sync on their own. If you're using a POP account or something, you want to kind of make sure that, the BlackBerry isn't downloading mail from the server and not leaving it for the computer to download later. So, look
into
those things,
too. Sure, sounds like a management issue more than anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Elias, thank you very much for your call, and good luck to you. This email we got from Glenn, who said, and I guess this falls into the category of gifts you don't want to get, last year I received a USB-powered coffee cup.
What is that? It drives to the Starbucks?
Use,
what does it do?
Use the USB port to keep the coffee hot. Great for both for killing your battery and for warming your keyboard with the contents of the hot cup. Needless to say,
wow.
It's still in its package.
We'll get Kojo one for Christmas here.
A
USB-powered
so
coffee cup.
That wow, is, that's better than
that
a T-shirt, I think.
So,
that's up there.
That's almost as silly as it is original. Here is Carl in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Carl, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes. My question is regard to performance. I have a Toshiba PC, not the latest model, but my problem is that when I try to boot up, sometimes it takes me as much as 5 minutes for it to boot up. I'm running Norton antivirus with Norton Ghost. And someone says to me, that's the worst thing I could ever do. and also, I find that, I've tried all the free software possible. I've tried SpyBot to clean up whatever may be rogue processes. I've tried running CCleaner. I've tried running Speed It Up.
You've been listening to the show then, huh?
Beg your pardon?
You've been listening to the show. It's all the things we recommend.
Yes. And I tried all that, but my performance is still horrendous.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if there are rogue processes sitting out there. I cannot seem to identify any that I deem to be rogue processes, but I seem to have an inordinate amount of processes that are personalized rather than system processes.
Yeah. I talked about a company earlier called Trend. Trend just bought a product called Hijack This. Hijack This is a free utility. What it does is it takes a little snapshot of all the processes that are running on your computer. What you can do is then post it online, and then smart people like Allison and Kojo and Bill can make comments on what the different systems are that are running. And I think you're at level two problem here, where you're doing all the basic things right, and you may have some kind of a file in there that's soaking up a lot of resources. Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't take 5 minutes, no matter what. So I think there's something in there that maybe you can identify it, but there may be someone sitting in Oklahoma City that has seen that. Oh, I know what that is, a TFN.exe that looks like a keyboard controller, but actually what it is malicious code. So I think you got to take and post it to the community. And have the, it takes a community to fix a computer. It's supposed to the community to have them help it.
Hey, Carl, thank you very much for your call, and good luck to you. Here is Mija in Olney, Maryland. Mija, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. How's everybody today?
Doing well.
Good.
Well, thank you for taking my phone call.
Well, now that you ask, Mija.
My knee is hurting me a little bit. How about you, Bill?
Yeah, let's turn this around.
Nice try, boys. Be nice.
Mija, go right ahead,
I have
please.
A question about a laptop. I don't know anything about computers, and I have a ninth grader who needs a laptop for her schoolwork and research. And I was hoping somebody could help me to decide on what would be best for a high schooler.
You came to the right place, Mija.
Thank you.
I'm going to say buy a Toshiba notebook. I've said it for years. I still think it's a good value, a good buy. They're very durable. In fact, I have a teenager at home who's in high school, and was it a year ago or 2 years ago, we bought her a notebook computer, and she uses it constantly, and talk about durable, very, very durable. So I go with a Toshiba notebook. What would you two come up with?
I actually would take that ninth grader again, take the ninth grader to the store where they can touch the computers, where they can see. John shaking his head. No, why would you do that?
Yeah, why test drive?
Why test drive?
I never test drive.
Of course not. I mean, a lot of the high school kids do have Apple MacBooks.
No, they don't. Hardly anyone does. That's expensive. You are filthy rich, Allison, aren't you?
No, John.
Filthy rich.
Oh, my
gosh. Goodness.
No. Anyway, but you want to take a look at them. You want to test drive them. You want to see what they feel comfortable with.
And then buy a Toshiba.
You know, John, you are so special. Anyway, Bill, what would you suggest?
Well, I would say that it may be a Toshiba. I mean, you've got to see what they're using for schoolwork. I mean, I'm guessing it's nothing too specialized.
No, it's not. It's standard stuff.
So, you know, the advantage of getting a Mac, don't tell them about boot camp. You know, that way, you know, there are far fewer Mac games available. They won't waste their time with that. They'll get their homework done. So get the Toshiba.
So they can play more games, huh?
Okay. Does that work for you, Mija?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your call. Allison, I forgot to ask you about the gift of a digital picture frame. Why would that be a good gift?
Well, everyone loves pictures, okay?
This is true.
And, you know, and everyone wants to show their Florida vacation and so on. And these things are finally coming down in price, all right? It used to be that, you know, for a couple hundred dollars, you have to be, and I'm not that rich, John, okay? So my dad.
That rich. She's rich. She's not that rich.
No. So my dad has gotten one of these Kodak Easy Shares, the P720 version. Anyway, it gets good ratings, and I've had no tech support calls from him. So he basically was – it was easy enough to transfer his files. You can use Mac or PC using USB or memory card. It won't break your bank. So between $60 to $100, you can put on hundreds of pictures. But the real important thing about these digital picture frames is make sure that the setup as well as updating these things are easy, because the problem is sometimes setup is easy, but then changing the pictures are horrendous. So whatever you get, make sure that you can update it and change it, because that's the point of the digital picture frame. You can see millions of pictures sitting there changing.
Bill Harlow, Sean in Silver Spring wants to know, will we ever be able to text photos on the iPhone? Why can't we?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there is a great answer for this, and that is to move to Sweden.
Move to Sweden. I kind of like that. In December would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Exactly. Oh, so tell you a scenario. They've got they're going to carry this program made by Mobispine, and it's an MMS program. It's going to be branded as a Telia program right on the iPhone there, and it's going to support MMS.
Oh, great. We all know that is.
Oh, yeah. So, so you know, MMS is, you know, you can take a picture, you know, have a little audio file, whatever, send like a rich text message to another user with a phone that supports that, which is basically all of them except for the iPhone. Now, Mobispine did say that they want to license this application to other carriers. So cross your fingers. Hope they're in talks with AT&T to bring that stateside as well.
And Sweden is very advanced, though. Most of the Scandinavian countries are in terms of cell phones, so it doesn't
probably rated
me.
Higher than 15th in broadband, too.
I bet you. Higher than that.
And this email we got from M, can you comment on how to securely use a laptop in wireless cafes and airports? I have the standard pay-for virus and firewall software installed on an 8-month-old laptop, but I don't understand if this automatically protects my computer while using these free wireless access points.
Yeah, I would use it for casual communications, but nothing real serious. What we have here is a little situation called a man in the middle. So you go to the Panera and you have a little bagel there, and meanwhile Kojo is in the next room and he sets up a fake site. And so you think you're at the Panera site, but you're not. You're at the Kojo scam site. And so you go to your bank and he kind of harvests your information. And so you have to be wary of that. I think you have to be careful. Now, if you are as paranoid as I am, what you might want to do is never use a wireless situation for transacting any business on the bank. But you can also get something called a VPN. In the corporate world, VPNs used constantly, used all the time. It's a little tunneling protocol, came out in the days of NT, and you just tunnel right in. It works great. Now, you can buy tunneling software for individuals. You know, instead of if you work for a big company, you get the IT guy and he fixes you up, and that's not a problem at all. Citrix is a vendor in that area. So you can buy a little program. Surf Bouncer is a little program you can buy. You can VPN right in. Then you can sit Starbucks, do your banking, and VPN right in safely.
A VPN, of course, means virtual private network. Yep. We had a caller who couldn't stay on the line who asked what you think of the Kindle for downloading books. It's worth about $350. And somebody who was on the show the other day says that that's how they download all their books nowadays. Was this you, Allison?
Yeah, there absolutely are Kindle fanatics, all right? There are people that just won't go anywhere without
their
Kindle.
I've never seen one.
Me either.
Never seen a single person in public with a Kindle.
Or admit one.
I know a few of them. Anyway, but the thing is, it is $300+, but you can get an awful lot of really great stuff for it. So it depends, and it's also black and white.
And the library is free.
I don't know who told me it was a guy who works for a publisher, and he says all the reading he does now, he does on his Kindle. I'm afraid we are about out of time. John Gilroy is Director of Business Development at SolutionsDevelopers.com. Happy holiday to you, sir. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Allison Druin is Director of the Human Computer Interaction Lab at the University of Maryland College Park. Happy holiday. Happy New Year.
Happy holidays to you, too.
And Bill Harlow is a former Mac genius and now a Macintosh consultant with Mid-Atlantic Consultant. Happy holiday. Happy New Year.
Same to you, Kojo.
Thank you all for listening. I'm Kojo Nandi. Coming up tomorrow on the Kojo Nandi Show, the collision of science and faith at the end of life, how patients and doctors grapple with the unexpected and often tension-filled situations caused by 21st century medical breakthroughs. Plus, ensuring billions of your dollars don't go to waste. We get donation strategies from a man who leads one of America's biggest philanthropies. The Kojo Nandi Show, noon till 2 tomorrow on WAMU 88.5.